breath of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands.
Oh, blessed Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have not only come down from heaven to earth and be our Lord and Savior, but you have conquered death and you have gone back to your Father. Now you are sitting at the right hand of your Father, ruling for the glory of your Father and for the good of your people. Oh Lord, we are going to open up your word. Give us the grace of faith to believe your word, to receive your truth. Oh Lord, give us your graces and lead us day by day, step by step, until you lead us to glory. Oh, we thank you for your promise that to those who fear you, you give grace and glory. So Lord, speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we have quite a number of visitors. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let me just tell you that we have been studying the Ten Commandments together in our morning services here. And this morning, we are up to the Sixth Commandment. The Sixth Commandment. Now, do you know what is the Sixth Commandment? I hope you know. Maybe some of you have to think twice. Let us turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. The sixth commandment is there. You shall not murder. In the Hebrew language, it's shorter, more pungent. No murder. No murder. And now let us turn to John chapter 6, verse 51. This is our Lord Jesus' bread of life sermon after the feeding of the 5,000. And our Lord Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. No murder. And yet our Lord Jesus says, I'm going to give my flesh. You understand, that is his life. I'm going to give my flesh so that the world may have life through my death. The sixth commandment, no murder. Here we learn about the sanctity of human life. And it is a basic human instinct to know that human life is sacred. And it's almost universal for humanity to recognize this. And in any society, in any countries, ancient or modern, murderers shall be severely punished. Quite often by the death sentence, if not still a lifelong sentence or something like that. Murder is universally condemned. Life is universally held as sacred. And because of our long-standing Christian culture and tradition in Australia, our country poured tremendous resources into health care palliative care, care for people with disabilities, care for people who have mental illnesses. And quite a number of these people would have no contribution whatsoever anymore to the country's GDP. They cannot work. And yet, we know because life is holy, we are going to pour tremendous resources on them. And yet, we live in contradiction, isn't it? In the same health facilities and hospitals, every year, thousands upon thousands of unborn children are slaughtered in their mother's womb. But that is called reproductive rights. That is regarded as the basic human right of a woman. What? A basic human right for women to kill their own children? Have I got any right to kill my children? Answer? No, even though I am their father. Even though, humanly speaking, I've given them life. But because life, human life, is sacred, I have no right to take away my children's rights. During the Second World War, Dutch medical doctors refused to obey the Nazi orders to stop giving treatment to the elderly and the terminally ill. To the Nazis, if you were terminally ill, if you were elderly, you contributed nothing to National Socialism. You became inferior, you got no use. Therefore, we're not going to waste resources to treat you. Those medical doctors in Holland were so brave. And yet today, as you know, Holland stands at the forefront of the promotion of euthanasia. Holland is the first country in the world to legalize euthanasia. In the year 2000, with a stunning two-third majority in the Dutch parliament, a so-called mercy-killing bill was approved. Notice, friends, it took only one generation to transform a war crime into an act of compassion. Friends, words have meaning. There is a thing, and how you describe that thing has tremendous consequences. That thing could be called a war crime. The same thing could be called an act of compassion. That thing you can call as perversion, or you can call marriage equality. That thing you can call murder, or you can call it reproductive rights. And that's why we must get into the heart of the reason for the sixth command. No murder. Why not? Why not? Well, let us look at very briefly. The history of murder at the beginning of human history. You remember the garden? Our first parents rebelled against the Lord. They disobeyed God. They ate the forbidden fruit. And what was the next sin that humanity committed as recorded in Genesis? I'm sure that afterwards Adam and Eve would argue and so on and so forth. But the next sin recorded in the book of Genesis in humanity is what? Murder. Cain killed Abel. Why? Because Abel was righteous and Cain was not. Abel was upset by God and Cain was not. And out of jealousy and envy, Cain killed his brother. The first case of murder in human history was that of a brother murdering a brother. Well, parents here, if you have more than one child, you know your children would fight at times. And they would be jealous of each other. And if you got some money, and if you don't handle your money in an absolutely fair way, your children will get jealous of one another. How often we heard of really rich people, tycoons, immediately after their death, children were fighting for the inheritance, and they got the best lawyers in town to fight for the inheritance. The world became so violent that the Lord God destroyed the whole world with a global flood. And the whole world still has all this evidence of the global flood, all these fossils and so on and so forth. But then, very interestingly, after the global flood, the Lord God gave humanity the right to eat meat. Now turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. It was after the flood, Noah came out of the ark, and God told him, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I've given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." A careful reading of Genesis suggests that before the flood, humanity ate only fruit and vegetable. But after the flood, for some reasons, God gave humanity the permission to eat meat, all kinds of meat. And yet, humanity are not to eat meat wantonly. Humanity are to respect life, especially human life. Now, why was that change? What were the reasons? The Bible does not tell us. Except we can guess. You'll notice after the flood, the lifespan of humanity dropped drastically from about 800 years to about 200. All of a sudden. And then very soon, human lifespan dropped to about 70 or 80. What happened? We're not exactly sure, but it has to be that tremendous damage to the Earth's environment that somehow we age quicker, we die sooner, and then we still don't understand, but God gave humanity the right to eat meat, but not to eat in a greedy, wanton manner. It is in that context that God appointed the death sentence for the crime of murder. And in so doing, the Lord God appointed human government to bear the sword to safeguard human life. Now, lots of people complain about the Australian government. Well, it may not be the ideal. But friends, we're among the best in the world. You give me a choice. I would like to stay in Australia and not China and not America. And every human government possesses deadly weapons to safeguard life. We may not have the death sentence for the crime of murder, But all human governments have armed forces or police forces, and they're essential for human government. All governments carry some deadly weapons, and we hope that they will use it carefully and righteously. We certainly don't want Mr. Kim to bear nuclear weapons. I think it's weighty enough. We don't want him to carry the extra weight and burden of having nuclear weapons. But then, if you are still in Genesis chapter 9, there's something very important there. In verses 5 to 6. Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast, I will require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Verse 6, and this is important. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Why? Why is there capital punishment for murder? Because, for in the image of God, he made man. Why is human life so sacred? Why is there capital punishment for murder? The reason lies in the fact that human beings carry the image of God. A man may be an atheist. A woman may curse God. But they carry the image of God. They have the mind. They have a conscience. They have still some standards of right and wrong. They still have some righteous indignation. They are still creative. We don't just kill a dog, tear open the dog and eat its guts. We have chefs, cuisine, delicate cooking. We spend hours doing our cooking, and we may spend hours to eat our dinner. Why? Because we carry the image of God. Because human beings carry the image of God, therefore human life is sacred. We have a dignity far above the honors of dogs and cats and chimpanzees. And that's why to murder a human being is to destroy an image of God. And it's a direct affront to the glory of God. It is the image of God in man that places the value of human life far above that of animal life. Well, there's a movement now, a new way of thinking, a push to place human life on the same level as animal life. You know, some people are saying something like this. Well, in the Second World War, 6 million Jews were murdered, and that was terrible. But every day, how many chickens were killed to satisfy the human mouth? What? Are we going to place the life of a chicken on the same level as the life of a human being? Your pet may have deadly disease, and you take it to the vet to put it down. Mercy killing. Your grandmother has deadly disease. You don't just put her down. Why not? If human life is the same as dolphin's life, if human life is the same as whale's life, why not? The Bible's answer is that we human beings bear the image of God, with a dignity and honor far above all the animals. And human life is so sacred and valuable, so much so that our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount that to insult and demean another human being is already breaking the sixth commandment and deserved eternal punishment. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, our Lord Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother is already in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Raka,' was Raka, idiot, fool. Whoever say that shall be in danger of hell fire." That is our Lord Jesus' authoritative interpretation of the sixth commandment. Human life is so sacred that if you insult another person and you say to that person, "You fool, you idiot, you madman, you useless fellow," you're already breaking the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. I noticed some Chinese women just have a habit to call their husbands, "You useless fellow." I hope you ladies see, whether you're Chinese or not, you don't do that. Look at the man next door. He's earning $1 million per year. And you, you're just useless. A scum. What's that? That is breaking the sixth commandment. A person may be terribly disabled, whether by birth or by accident. That person still carries the image of God. And we have to respect that person because she or he carries the image of God. Insult and scorn and demeaning others are breaking the sixth commandment. And swearing at others. We're living in a time when swearing is becoming so universally popular. Whether in Asia, in America, or in Australia, our people, even educated people, they just have a habit of swearing at one another, at things, and so on. What is swearing? It is to violate human life, to do verbal violence to another person. That is breaking the sixth commandment. And you people here, whether you're young or old, maybe you're still very young. You're like an innocent child. You're by no means innocent. You have been committing the sin of murder. When you go to school, when you call another person, you're idiot. You know, some children, young people, even call their parents idiots. You're murderers. Even hating others are breaking the sixth commandment. John says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 15, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." What? Can I hate my enemy? No. Can I not harbor bitterness against another person? No. Why can't I hate? Because the person you're hating carries the image of God. In John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus called the devil a murderer. A murderer. What happened to the devil? He was a leading angel. How did he fall? Well, the Bible does not give us a lot of answers. But it seems, and we are quite right, I think, to think of it was out of jealousy. And Jewish tradition has this, that the devil, out of jealousy of humanity, that he rebelled against God, he tempted humanity to sin. He was so angry at God, at Adam and Eve, at humanity. Well, why should you people care with that dignity of the image of God? Why should you be placed even above the angels? I hate that. I hate the image of God. And he rebelled. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. At the bottom of every war and every abortion, every murder was the devil. The devil just loved to slaughter. Why would humanity keep on fighting? Why is it that there's never been any cessation of war for long? Answer, because of the devil. So yesterday I read all this, we're living in a new age, the age of drones, all these flying objects, and it can be very dangerous. You can use a drone to drop diseases, bombs, or whatever. It seems our world is going to become more dangerous in the future than now with this technology. The problem is not with technology, the problem is with the human heart. Human heart always want to harness technology to murder. And that's why we don't want the world or any country to have nuclear weapons, and yet I don't know what is the answer. I don't know. But let's go back to the Bible. The Word of God teaches us only God has the right to take away human life. The wages of sin is death. And God alone can demand the ultimate payment for sin. And that's why even in our greatest despondency and depression, we have no right to take away our own lives. Well, some of you may need this. I hope not, but you may need this. We can pray to God to take away our lives. Like Moses and Elijah, in their moment of dejection, they did not want to live anymore. They cried to God, take away my life. We can pray that. Whether God will answer is another question. But the right to take away human life does not belong to us. Suicide is never an option. No, it's not an option. Remember the sixth commandment, no murder. And then impress deeply into your mind and heart. No murder. So that in the future, in a moment of the greatest hopelessness, maybe you are forsaken by your wife or husband. Maybe you are facing deadly disease. Maybe it's just the blue. No matter how depressed you may be, no murder. If you're not allowed to murder yourself, then you're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to think about that. And that's why, my dear friends, the Ten Commandments are so helpful. And so many of them are couched in negative language. No murder. I'm not allowed to murder. I'm not allowed to murder myself. I'm really depressed. I want to die. I can cry to God, kill me. That's okay. And that's up to God, whether he'll kill you or not. But you're not going to kill yourself. Later on, we look at no adultery. You may have the worst marriage problems. You may be most attracted to another person. No adultery, don't even think about that. It's so helpful. The Ten Commandments. So many of them in the negative language. When God says no, I just say no. When God says no, I don't think about that. Okay, we move on. The wonderful thing of the Bible is that it surprises us. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the surprise of all surprises. Isn't it amazing that the Son of God laid down His own life so that His people may have life in Himself? In John chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus our Lord says, "Therefore my Father loved me." Why? "Because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." What a statement. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. I'm going to lay down my life so that I will take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. You recall our Lord Jesus did not die of exhaustion on the cross. He did not just expire. As He got weaker and weaker and breathing slower and slower and then dropped. It wasn't like that. How did Jesus die? He cried out with a loud cry to heaven. And then He gave up His spirit. And He committed His soul to the Father. He really laid down. He laid down His life in His full strength. The Son of God, who became first the God-man, as God, has the right to put down His human life for hell-deserving sinners. Only God can do that. The God-man as God did that. And then Lord Jesus said, "This command I have received from my Father." It was the Father's will. It was God's will to take away the human life of His Son so that the world may have life. In John chapter 6, verses 48 to 51, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The same truth. I'm the bread of life. I've come down from heaven. I'm the living bread. And I'm going to give my flesh. Not in an act of suicide, but in an act of voluntary laying down His life so that sinners, His believing people, may have life. That's the gospel. And Jesus wants us to eat of His flesh, to lay hold upon His death for sinners, To go to him and say, Lord Jesus, I deserve the eternal punishment. But I believe you laid down your life so that I may have life. And I take it as a free gift. That is receiving Christ. And then thirdly, Christ's people are to cherish and promote life. You know, my dear friends, to be a Christian is not just coming to church and living a moral life and being nice. It's far more than that. To be a Christian is that you by faith lay hold upon Jesus. And then by the same faith you draw from Christ the risen Lord, his life in the Spirit. And that from Christ we draw spiritual life with a big S. It's Holy Spirit life, and we have eternal life. What is spiritual life? It's that you have faith in Christ and that you draw from Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit is resurrection life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is life lived in communion with Christ. And it begins now when one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to be a Christian. A few days ago, there were some funders, and then soon afterward, my wife and I discovered that we lost our internet connection. Well, it was not the first time. Somehow, our church and the men had tracked lots of thunders and lightning. Well, it happened a number of times, and we lost the internet connection. I thought that's okay. Well, that was not okay because I need to keep contact with some of you people at least, and some other people. And I text message a friend, a good friend. In no time, he brought me, in Chinese language, it's a Wi-Fi egg. It's a portable, what do you call that? Wi-Fi? Portable modem? And he brought it to me and said, Pastor, you can have this. You need this for the time being. I say, well, it costs about $50. And he said, oh, that's okay. It's free to me. So take it. You need it. And I took it. And then I got a connection again. I discovered I got quite a number of messages that I have to deal with. My dear friends, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to have that Wi-Fi connection with heaven above. No modem, no connection, no messages, no Christ, no life. You have Christ, you have the connection, you got not just data, not just words, but power from heaven above. And with a connection with the God of life, it is our God-given duty. And Christ enabled responsibility to cherish and promote life. You and I are to use our lives for the glory of God in serving God. You and I are to submit to God's sovereignty over our lives. One of the most magnificent statements of faith to be found in all scriptures is Job's declaration at the sudden death of all 10 of his children. He only got 10 children. 7 sons and 3 daughters. It seems Job loved his daughters more than his sons, or at least equally. What would you say, parents? God forbid that would happen. But if we are to lose all our children in one go, what are we going to say? And this is what Job said. Naked I came from a mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh Lord God, you are the God of life. You have given me life. You have given me my friends and loved ones, and now you have taken them away. Blessed be your name. We are to love our friends and even our enemies with forgiveness and benevolence. We are not allowed to hate our enemies. And we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ by the common union and communion we have in Christ. Oh, now it's close to the end. But if you've got your Bible open, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And there we are told how to live the Christian life and have Christian fellowship. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Oh, anger is a dangerous emotion. There's something called righteous anger, but even that can be dangerous. And then it's so beautiful. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. Listen carefully. I'll read it in your Bible. Let all bitterness, you know what's bitterness? I hope so. Wrath, anger, clamor, what's clamor? It's loud speaking, yelling, hostile speaking, and evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice. What's malice? You're wishing other people harm in your heart. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. This is how we should live. You know you're a sinner. You've gone to Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have received forgiveness from Jesus' hand. And now you are to put away all bitterness. Oh, you're bitter against that person. Put it away. Anger, wrath, and that little fellow really upset you. Maybe it's your son or your daughter. You're tempted to yell. No clamor. No yelling. No hostile speaking. Sorry to say this. In the days when I grew up, some parents like to say to their children, I wish I'd given birth to a piece of barbecue pork than you. Have they say? No murder. Don't even insult your children. Don't place scorn on others. But lastly, my dear friends, Christians are to be channels of life. You know that is our calling, my dear Christian friends. We are not only channels of God's blessings, we are channels of eternal life. You have eternal life. You have forgiveness of sins. You know the gospel. And you and I are to bring the gospel of life to others. Tell them Christ. Urge them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And bring that eternal life, spiritual life to others. That is our call. And I call you all this morning. Especially those of you who may still be wavering. Receive Christ, who is our life. Shall we pray? O Lord God Almighty, we praise and worship you. For you are the Lord of life. In you we live and move and have our beings. We're so thankful to you for the sacred trust of life. You have given us a new day, a day which we have never lived before. O Lord, help us to value our lives. Oh, you value our lives more than we value our own lives. But Lord, help us now to be channels of life, to tell others about the eternal life in Jesus. And give us grace this day to draw from Christ. Bless this Lord's day to us. Oh, may this day be a day of communion and fellowship with Christ. A day of life. In Jesus' name. Amen.